Because, Lord, you are crucified. You are rejected. You are left alone when people should have spoken out for the truth. You died. But then you blossomed again. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the power in your word. Your word can liberate. Your word can heal. Your word can deliver. Your word can break. Your word can make. In fact, your word can create. There is power in your word. Jesus of Nazareth, as we hear your word this morning, we ask, O Lord, that it will create in our lives. It will raise in our lives. It will restore in our lives. It will refresh in our lives. It will envision in our lives. It will strengthen and make strong. It will build up. And whatever needs to be destroyed, it will destroy. In the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of it all, the glory will be yours. And we'll be blessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 1. The first book of Psalm. The first chapter of Psalm. And I'm going to read the first three verses there. Our time is quite limited. And I'm going to just share one or two things with us from there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm going to read a couple of translations. To you this morning from the same verse. I'm going to read the New Century Version of the Bible. It says, happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. They are strong like a tree planted by a river. The tree produces fruit in season, and its leaves don't die. Everything they do will succeed. I will read yet another translation. which is not, is a translation I don't often read, but I'll read it to us. How many of us read the Message? How many of us read the Message? Okay. Yes, sometimes I do. I just go there, you know, just to hear what it says. So I will read from the Message. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Saint Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You are a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. If there has ever been any particular passage I've read from the Message and like, this is the one. So by the grace of God, I'm going to share with us from where we have read. The Bible says, blessed is the man. It didn't say blessed is man. It says blessed is the man. It's specific. It's definite. It's targeted. It's focused. See, blessed is the man. In other words, there is a man to be blessed. It is not all. We may not like this. But it says, the man. It is not all. It didn't say blessed. Blessed is all men. He said, blessed is the man, that specific man, that unique man, that man is blessed. And when you look at the Amplified Version, it tells us what the blessings comprise of. It says, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man. In other words, the kind of blessing that God is set to bestow upon that man, the man, is such that will make him happy. Is such that will make him contented. It's such that when people look at him, they will say he's fortunate. For you to be able to describe somebody as fortunate, something must have happened. You must have known that compared to other people, something has happened in the life of that person that does not happen to everybody. For example, if you know that every time you go to the tap in your house, when you go to the tap, you open the tap and you drink and you take a cup and you drink water, I will not come to your house when you take water in my presence. I will say, ah, you are fortunate. Oh. But if it's in Nigeria, if you go to your tap and you just open the tap and you put your cup and you get water, I may say you are fortunate because I know that water is not always there. So, if there's something that you have 100% guarantee that you will get, or even 90-something percent guarantee that you are going to get, I'm not going to say you are fortunate. I will only say you are fortunate if I know that the chances of you getting that thing is very slim compared to other people. Or that like other people, the chances of you getting it is very, very slim. Yet you went there and you got that thing. Yet the Bible says the kind of blessing that God bestows on the man is such that people will look at him and the individual will even know that they are fortunate. Prosperous. Enviable. So when God's blessings is on a man's life, other people will look at it and they will see something that they will desire in that life. Don't mind the fact that that desire may be communicated in different ways. That your position of being enviable, that enviable position of yours, may be communicated to you in different ways. Do you know what I'm talking about? That when God's blessings comes upon your life, and people see it and see the hand of God upon your life, and it is something they desire, it may be communicated to you in different ways. If people simply come to you and say, "Brother, sister, I like what God is doing in your life. Oh, I can see that God is blessing you. Oh, I really want to be like you. Oh, I want to know the God you serve. I want to do things. How do you make it? How do you do it?" If people will come to you like that, as simple as that, it will be so wonderful. Wouldn't it? No, but that is not the way it is communicated. It gets communicated in other ways. Sometimes you may not understand that that is what people are saying to you. Sometimes it may be unpalatable. But yet the Bible says that he will put you in an enviable position. The Bible says he will put the man in an enviable position. And God will put you in an enviable position in the mighty name of Jesus. But he says that there are conditions attached. There are conditions that are attached to God's blessings. And one of the mistakes I believe we do make these days is the fact that we tell people about God's blessings without telling them about the requirements. I once preached a sermon titled "Grace Without Responsibility." And like I told us earlier on this morning, the Bible tells us that God is not unjust. He's not. God is not unjust that he will, after taking responsibility away from us or take away our willpower, then say that he's going to hold us accountable. He will never do that if we don't have a part to play in the things of life. God will never, you know, hold you responsible for something he has not asked you to take responsibility for. That is why the Bible says that on that day, God will be shown to be just. When the book is opened before us, and everything he says, and when we look at it, we know that he's just so right. That he's just so what? He's just so right. So, when we talk about the blessings, we need to talk about the conditions of the blessings as well. He said, "Blessed is the man that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." And one of the things that comes to mind is this. It means that the man to be blessed needs to know who is godly and who is ungodly. Otherwise, how can you stop yourself from walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Because commonly we say, oh, yeah, please don't judge. You are not to say, you are not to do this, you are not to do that. If the Bible says you are not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you need to first of all be able to identify the ungodly to be able not to walk in the counsel of that person. So if you know the ungodly, then you will know the godly. I'm not talking about people taking advice that it is not. I'm not saying it's inappropriate to take advice. The Bible is not saying that. The Bible is saying what is appropriate is to take godly advice. You know what the Bible says? It says, a good word appropriately spoken is like gold in a setting of silver. So a good advice is like that too. Godly advice can change situations, can change circumstances for you. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So in other words, where there is godly counsel, you are not going to fall. But he then makes a distinction between godly counsel and ungodly counsel. Many of us look at counsel in terms of when somebody sits with you one-to-one. No. The counsel does not stop there. Counsel goes beyond that. Counsel may also includes what situation is suggesting to you at this time. What is in vogue? What is the expectation of people for you? What do they expect you to do? A couple of weeks, I talked about our own Trinity, me, myself, and I. Somebody said that another God that we worship is they. They said this. They will say that. They told me that. They are going to do this. They are going to do that. And as a result, we are even afraid to declare who we are. We are afraid to do what we know is right to do. Because of they, that God, that small God, they. But the Bible says our blessings rest on the fact that we are able to identify the they that is ungodly. And do what? And not walk in their counsel. How do you know the ungodly? The ungodly is the one, the Bible also calls him the wicked, is the one that gives advice contrary to the word of God. The wicked is the one that has a stand that is at variance with the word of God. Anyone you see that twists the word of God, anyone that you see after they've heard the word of God, maybe you share the word of God with them or it's shared with you, and then you go back, but you know God says it, oh yes, you see, and start to rationalize it. Watch it very well. But anyone who comes in total submission and in obedience to the word of God, that is the godly. You are going to have a different perspective of Psalm 1. Let me just quickly read another version, verse 1 of where we read. This is the contemporary English version. It actually says, I won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Another one says, or join in mocking God. Anyone who receives the word of God and makes light of it and say it doesn't matter and said, look, I make a joke of it. The Bible is saying that they are not good company. But anyone who receives the word of God and they are quick to do it, they are good company. From personal experience, when I was in the uni, I didn't know the word of God with which I could convert people. But I knew the word of God with which I could argue against Christians. And there are a lot of people like that. When they speak, they interject with what appears to be like the word of God. And you think it's the real thing, but I'm telling you, you have to listen attentively and know what you are talking about. Otherwise, when they put in those things, you actually think it's the real thing. Meanwhile, it is not. Why is it so important that we know? Because our life depends upon the word. Maybe you have never looked at it this way before. And that is what he's referring to in verse 3. Look at it. First of all, look at verse 2. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And following that, he now goes to say, and he shall be like a tree. After he delights in the law of the Lord, after he infuses himself, after he saturates himself with the law of the Lord, after that he has known the Lord, after he has applied it to his life, after he has become obedient to the law, the Bible now says in verse 3 that he would then be like a tree that is planted by the waters. What is peculiar about the tree that is planted by the waters? We always like to talk about the fact that it brings its fruits in the due season. But that is not all. The other version I read to you says, because that tree, one, will be strong. What does it mean to be strong? In other words, you and I, when we take in the word of God, we will be strong. What does our strength do? What our strength will do is this, is that in the day of adversity, because a strong tree will stand in the day of adversity, you will stand in the day of adversity. Because a strong tree, can you just understand this thing? That as the water flows, nutrients go to the tree. So, in its due season, it's able to produce. Why is it able to produce? Because it has nutrients. It has all it takes. So, also, the one that infuses himself with the word of God is able to produce when it is required. Now, what are these? The one who infuses himself with the word of God is able to stand when he's supposed to stand. When he needs to get angry with the devil, he will get angry with the devil. Because he knows the word. He knows his right in the Lord. And he will stand up and say, look, you can't keep doing this to me, you enemy. I command you to leave this place today. I ask that you take your hand off me today. I ask that you take your hand off my property. I ask that you take your leave and go and leave this place. You are bearing fruit. When you don't know the word, you will not bear fruit in your due season. You know, when you are supposed to be gentle as dove, you will not know to be gentle as dove. Because it's the word in you that allows you to bear fruit in your due season. When is your due season? When life circumstances starts to ask of you or demand of you who you are in Jesus Christ. That is your due season. That is the time you are supposed to be bearing fruit. If you don't have the word of God in you, you will not be able to bear fruit. When it is time to minister to somebody, if you don't have the word of God with you in you, you will not be able to stand and minister. You remember the seventh son of Sceva, who went to the man that was possessed of demons, and said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul calls upon. Oh, and what happened? The man with the evil spirit leapt on them and beat them to nonsense. And they had to run. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? It is the word of God in you that allows you to bear fruit such that when you are supposed to be praying, you are not crying. It is the one that will allow you to pray when you are supposed to be hoping, you are not going to despair. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. So did I say 127? Psalm 119. I think it's verse 114. He said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He becomes your hope. That is when, look, when you are supposed, when the enemy expects that you'll be depressed and despairing, and you are able to maintain your hope, it is the word in you that comes alive. The life in the word in you begins to come alive in due season. The fruit you bear is as a result of the word that is in you. That word is the river that will be washing you. That word is the river that will bring the nutrients to you. When it is due, when it is time to manifest something, the word of God in you will help you to manifest. When it is time for you to prophesy to a situation, the word of God in you will help you to prophesy. When it is time to see into things, the word of God in you will help you to see. Because Jesus said, he said, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The tree planted by the river is a strong tree. It brings forth its fruit in a due season. This morning we talked about the burning fire in the place of sacrifice. In fact, we talked about the sacrifice that has to be continuous. God instructed the children of Israel. He asked them to make sacrifice in the morning, and by evening time, another sacrifice is made so that continuously there's something before the Lord. It is the word of God that will allow you to be able to meet that condition. Can you see in verse 3, he said, his leaf also shall not wither. In other words, it's going to continue to be green. It is the word of God in you that will allow you to remain evergreen before God. It's the word of God that allows you to produce something that is desirable, something that God will look at, you know, and it will be appealing to heaven. And I'm telling you that it is possible. I'm telling you that his word, it is possible. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So it is possible that we remain evergreen before the Lord. That we remain spiritually renewed. That we continually make sacrifice before Him. Because the word will be evoking something. The word will be renewing something. The word will be lifting something in us. The word will be preparing us for something. The word will be telling us, you know, which way to go. A whole lot of times we just interpret it to me, oh, you know, it simply means just physical abundance. That is not. It goes beyond that. It takes us to the realm of spiritual abundance as well. And tell me, how can you have the Spirit of God in you? How can you have God guiding you and you will not prosper? You see, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because whatever you are going to do is going to be according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do is going to be in obedience to God. Whatever you do is going to be as God wants it to be done. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. He becomes your strength. He becomes your hope. And I'm telling you, Jesus on the inside of us is more than able. Like I always tell us, every child of God whom Jesus has redeemed has that potential within him or her because of Jesus in him to be able to do that will please God. Sometimes we may struggle. But because Jesus overcame, you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, because Jesus overcame, you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. You know my song, the one I like so much? It says, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. The same love that redeemed the earth lives in me. That same power is in you and I. It depends on our attitude to the Word of God. It depends a whole lot on our attitude to the Word of God. I'm not talking about mechanical attitude to the Word of God. I'm talking about, look, when you, the sign of a godly man is that because God says it, he's ready to forgo what appears to be pleasant, what appears to be gain to him. That power is within you and I. The ability to succeed is in you. The ability to make it is in you because Jesus is in you. The ability to make a success of our Christian journey is in you and I because we are not doing it by our strength. We are doing it through the grace of God in our lives. How well you and I will do depends on our attitude to the Word. Like I told you, it's a short message, but I believe that God has something for us. So it is not where the multitude go. It is what the Word says. Blessed is the man. Not every man is the man. That man. That man. That man. And you are the man. You are the woman. I am the man. And we'll be blessed in all our deeds in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just rise on our feet this morning? Can we just rise up and pray? Can we just thank God for his word this morning? Let's just thank God. Let's thank him. Say, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. The Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light. It gives understanding even unto the simple. I am simple enough this morning. Thank you for the understanding in your word. Thank you for the understanding in your word this morning. Thank you for the understanding, O Lord, in your word. Thank you for that which you are doing because I am the man planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruits in a due season. Oh, and whatever I do will succeed. And whatever I do, I will prosper. I want you to say the same thing of yourself this morning. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Whatever you do, you will succeed. Whatever you do, you will prosper. Because the word of God is in you. It is a seed that is capable of becoming anything and everything. You are designed to succeed. You are designed to prosper. You are designed to make it. You are designed to excel. You are designed to break through. You are designed to be free. You are designed to be at liberty. You are designed to decree. You are designed to stand. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the word of God is in you. Is your strength. Is your hope. Is your ability. Is your wisdom. Is your power. Is your vision. Oh, thank you for your word this morning. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Oh, because we are in power, we are energized. We are people meant to make it. We are people meant to rise to the top. We are people meant to rise to the challenge. We will bear fruit in our due season. We will respond appropriately. Because, Lord, your word has deposited in us every ingredient that we need to respond to the circumstance of our lives. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I say, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for everyone that is struggling with one thing or the other. Lord, because your word has come, solution has come in their lives. Because your word has come this morning, answer has come in their lives. Because your word has come this morning, enlightenment has come in their lives. Let there be a breakthrough for such a one in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up this week into your hand as we go. The season that this week provides will see us measure up to standard and above standard in Jesus' name. Because you are in us and you can do all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share?